Okay, kids, grab a seat. Let's see if we can find Indiana Jones. You guys are new, so you just want to sit there or on the floor? In Banana? In Banana Jones, are you here? In Banana Jones? In Banana Jones? Is he here? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, do his music. Dun, 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 dun. Is he coming? Is he there? No. I don't think he's here. I don't think he's here. Oh, Andrew, what have you got there, mate? What have you got there? A special postage from... Wow, he's a carrier pigeon. He's a carrier pigeon. All right. Oh, wow. We have... Does anyone know how to read Wingdings? Indiana Jones has sent us a letter. There's a secret code. Look at that. Anyone know how to read it? Well, I know how to read Wingdings, but I have this amazing folder. Do you have these amazing folders? This is an amazing folder because if you put Wingdings in there and a burnt up letter and you open it up, guess what? You get a brand new letter. Isn't that amazing? It's not even burnt and it's not in Wingdings. And we'll just push that one back in there. Okay. It says, "Hi, Pastor Donnie. It's Indiana Jones here. I won't be able to make it to the greenhouse for the next two Sundays as I have been captured by the dreadful Lego people." How did Indiana Jones get captured by them? Hey? Sorry, I'll keep reading. "By the dreaded Lego people of New South Wales. They are an interesting people lost in a place that time has forgot, and for some reason they only wear blue." I know. Yeah, but is it Duplo?
No, it's not.
Anyway, "they have not laughed at one of my jokes, but I think I'm wearing them down. Please look after the KL kids for me and watch out for a couple of the boys. They can be a little bit naughty. Yours, hopefully, to escape soon, Indiana Jones." Oh, my goodness. Indiana Jones is captured by the Lego people. Wonder if he'll escape one day. Hey? He's the naughty one. They're both going, "He's the naughty one." All right. Well, hold on a sec. Let me... I wish he had given me some more notice and I could have put a decent talk together. Let's see how we go. Okay, here we go. I've got something. Just a flying by the seat of my pants, which I've never done before in my life, so we'll see how we go. All right. Who here has ever done anything silly? You've done... What have you done? What's silly? What did you do?
I can't remember.
Oh, you can't remember, but you know it was silly. All right. Anyone done anything silly? Anyone done anything silly? I talked my little brother when he was two into being able to fly like Superman. And I got him to tie a tea towel around his neck and he jumped off the back landing at our place. And I said I'd catch him if he didn't fly. And guess what? He didn't fly. And he landed and he broke his leg in three places. That was pretty silly of me, wasn't it? Very silly. Oh, boy, oh, boy, did I get in trouble. The belting I got on that one was in the top three beltings of my life. Oh, there are other stories coming up with those ones, Joseph. Sheesh. Suffice to say, I got in trouble. Okay, now, who can tell me what this is? Yes. It is not just a car. Ah, no touchy, no touchy. Oh, sit down. Oof, you got to have gloves on to touch the beloved E.H. Holden. My goodness. All right. You know what it is?
It's a little version of your old car.
It's a little version of my old car, exactly. It's miniature. So this is a E.H. Holden. And exactly what Elijah was saying, it's a miniature version of what I used to have. But the amazing thing is that my dad bought it the year I was born. And so as a little boy driving around with my dad, we sat in that car. Well, not this one, but another one like it. And guess what? It had no seat belts in it. And there would be 7 or 8 of us in the front seat. Well, maybe 4. And we'd sit there with no seat belts. And we'd play corners. And we'd slide across the back seat, backwards and forwards. We did some crazy things. But more than that, my dad and my grandma, say people who you would think have more common sense and wouldn't do silly things, they took us to a place called Lion Bullens Park. Or Bullens Lions Park. All right? Now, some of your mums may and dads may remember this. If not, your grandparents will remember it. They used to have a park south of Brisbane in a place called Yatla, all right, where you could drive your car in where all the lions and everything were, and they would come up to your window and put their face against your window. Some would even climb up on top of your car. Could you imagine that? My Lancer. If a lion climbed on top of my Lancer, it would squish, wouldn't it? These modern cars wouldn't handle that. And what about the paint job? They got claws. But that's what happened. Do you believe me? Yeah. You're not sure? Have a look at this picture. Look at that. People driving in the car. Notice the windows are up. There's signs everywhere. Please put up your windows. Is that a superfluous window sign or what? Who wouldn't have their windows up with those things rolling around? Look at the size of them. I know, some people were naughty, not the Johnson's boys, belting number 2. All right. So that's an old Falcon, but there's other ones. The EHs used to drive around, and Valiants, and these lions would crawl and go all over them. Amazing. At least you get to see them really close. But is that crazy or what?
That's How do they do that?
I don't know. And yet, I thought that was the only one in Australia, but some people from a place called Victoria say that down in Werribee, they used to have the same thing. And New South Wales. Well, I could trust those people to do it. But, you know.
I think we had the horse line, because we had Bullen's Animal World.
Bullen's Animal World, yes. It's all quite amazing stuff, isn't it? Those lions are real lions. Like, they really would eat you. They would. That's crazy. No, you're definitely not allowed out of your car. You're not supposed to wind the window down. Definitely not out of the car. Hold on a sec. Let me try something. Who's having a birthday tomorrow? Oh, congratulations. Come on up here. All right, boys and girls, for my next feat, I'm going to turn the lovely birthday girl into a cat. You ready for this? All right, here we go. Da-da-da. Some music, please. Da-da-da. All right. Meow. Sound like, look like a cat? Nearly. Okay, what do we need? We need a tail, don't we? All right, let's... Do you want to put that on? I haven't thought this through, have I, Angela? Yeah, Joey, put your... There you go. Now, apparently, cats have... bow ties. Got me. All right. All right. Now, in your loudest voice, go, meow.
Meow.
Ta-da! A cat. Does she look like a cat? Okay. I got one more thing. This will tell you exactly. Other hand. I am a cat. So she is a cat. Or is she like a cat? Like a cat, but not a cat.
Not one bit.
Not one. just a little bit. Work with me here. Work with me. Just you must be one of the boys that Indiana talked to me about. All right. Maybe like a cat. No. Like. So it should be I am like a cat. She's got ears. She's got that. She's got a tail. Look at that tail. Ooh. All right. She's got a sign saying she's a cat. Like a cat. Maybe. You guys are going to look at a passage, and so are we, where it says our enemy prowls about like a lion, but he's not really a lion. So we don't need to be afraid of him as if he's a lion. All right? As same as birthday girl number 1 here, turning 9, is not a cat. She might be like a cat, but she's not really a cat. Does that make sense? Is anyone confused? Anyone here thinks she's a cat? Oh, you do? Watch out. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That's very good. You held that. You want to keep those? Would you like to keep those as part of your birthday present? You keep them. You keep that. That's all yours. Happy birthday. All right, kids. You ready to head up to KO Kids upstairs? Oh, no, no, no. Whoa. What do you think this is here, Mark Owen show? We're going to pray for you first and then we'll send you up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our kids. May they have a blessed time upstairs at KO Kids. Watch over their leaders and helpers. Bless them too, Lord God, as they do what you've called them to do this morning. Bless them in Jesus' name. And all God's kids said, amen. All right, off you go upstairs.
We have two readings this morning. The first one is taken from Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The second reading is one of my favourites. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
So today, I want us to hit this passage that shows very loudly and very clearly that we are in fact in a battle. We've already talked about Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. But I want to lay before you today that there is a trinity of evil. There is the world, the enemy around us. 1 John chapter 2 tells us about that. There is the flesh, the enemy within us. Romans chapter 8 verses 4 to 8 gives us that whole battle of the flesh. And it's very, very much something that beats us up a lot of the time. I certainly know for a fact that I lose my battle with the flesh quite a lot. In fact, coming back from the football on Friday night, I lost it and bought a cherry ripe and then tempted my wife into eating it as well. What a bad husband. The other part of the Trinity, the world, the flesh, is the devil and his team, the enemy above us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. This enemy is a liar, a thief, a murderer, John chapter 10, verse 10. He goes about trying to rip us off, trying to destroy us from our dreams. And as we've said with the kids already, the Bible tells us loudly and clearly that this enemy prowls about like a lion, He's like. He's not a real lion, folks. There is only one lion in the Bible, and it is the Lion of Judah. And he's on our side. He's on our side. You can do a whole Bible study on that, and you can find out where Judah gets called a little lion. What a cool nickname, hey? You little lion, you. That's awesome. My nickname at school was you little duck, you. Why didn't I get lion? Because there was no cartoon character called Donald the Lion. It was Donald the Duck. Donald Duck. Sheesh. So here we are. Judah, the Lion of Judah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, talks about this amazing scene in heaven and who would open the scroll. And John is crying and weeping that there was no one found. And then all of a sudden, one of the angels says, "No, wait, look." And then he looks, and there's the Lion of Judah who was able to open the scroll. But you know the amazing thing? In verse 6, the Lion of Judah turns into the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is referred to, yes, as the Lion of Judah, but he is also the Lamb man, the one who takes away our sin, that mighty God that we have. Now this story, the roaring lion, African stories about lions are for everywhere, and you can find them all online. One of the stories I read, which is an old parable, I think, for the Pope, is that the old lions are the one that normally roar the most, because all the real lions don't need to roar because they're the real thing. The old ones are just going back to their glory days. Once upon a time, I used to be able to chase those down. Yep, so I'll roar about it. But the other thing about the lions is that they will roar. And guess what? When you hear a roaring lion, which apparently, according to searching Google, a roaring lion can be heard 8 to 10 kilometres away. That's a good roar. I don't think I can be heard 8 to 10 kilometres away. That's pretty cool. But if a roaring lion roars, guess what? Most of the animals don't run towards the roaring coming from. They don't go, "Oh, well, what's that sound that is? I'll just go and check that out." They actually go in the other direction. They run away from the roaring lion. And guess what's in the other direction? The lionesses waiting to attack when they try to escape the roar, the potential, the fear. The fear. And that's what a roaring lion causes, fear. Fear in the jungle. And this roaring lion, fear in our lives. And we don't need to do that fear because, as we've already heard, God did not give us a spirit of fear but of love, power and a sound mind. Folk, we do not need to be scared. I learnt very early in life as a milk boy that noises are sometimes gives us a clue of what's actually going on. And sometimes when noises are taking place, it's when there's not a noise that you need to be worried. For example, as a young boy learning to be a milk boy, I would go early in the morning on the milk run, get picked up 4 o'clock in the morning, go collect the milk and on the milk run. So early in the morning, just dropping milk off all over the place. And then the milkman would pick me up at 3:15 straight after school and we'd do the afternoon milk run. Now, in those days, we did weird things. Like we talked about crazy stuff. We did weird stuff as milk boys. I would get to some of the older people's houses and I'd not go at the foot of the stairs. I'd walk up the stairs. I'd yell out, "Milko!" And she'd say, "Come on in!" Door was open, not locked. Door was open. I'd walk in. I'd open the fridge. I'd put the milk in the fridge. I'd take the money off the table and I'd go, "See ya!" And off we'd go. Amazing. People would leave all their milk money in the milk bottles when the milkman came to pick it up, and you'd put the money, and you wouldn't even count it. You would put the money into your apron and then you'd put the empties into your crate and you'd put the full milk down. Now, whenever you went into a yard where there was a dog, a big dog, and you learnt where the big dogs were, because often the big dogs would go, they'd have a crack at you. And I'd be watching these dogs, but I learnt very quickly that sometimes it's the dog that's making the noise is not the one you have to worry about. I'd be watching this great big Alsatian growling at me and I'd be putting the milk down. "Yeah, got you, buddy, got you." Ah, snap. And I'd look down and here's this little chihuahua type thing hanging off my hand. What the? And so when I walk into that yard from now on, you, I know, where's your little mate? Where's your mate going? You know, sometimes when the devil grabs hold of us and he makes a great big noise, we've got to take that as a hint and go, okay, what else is going on here? What little trap am I about to walk into? What other lioness is waiting in attack? How do we fight against this battle? How do we fight against this scheming, murderous liar and thief who wants to rip us off? How do we do that? Well, thanks be to God, he has given us his word. And two passages we're going to unpack. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe there's three amazing keys for us. So if you have it open, you can open up and have a look at it. The first one is humility. Humble yourself. Humility. The enemy fell because of pride. And it's the one thing he tries to get us out of relationship with our God. Pride that we can do it ourselves. Pride that we don't need his help in anything. Pride that I don't even need to pray about anything because I've got the ability and the gifts and the talents to do it all myself. Pride. So we need to have humility. We need to submit to God and let him lift us up. I want to tell you a story. I've done a little bit of research this week and I came across this story. You may have heard it before, but I'm not going to use the guy's name because it makes him out as a bit of a goose. But this guy is a great man of God. He's written books. He's traveled the world preaching and teaching. And one time he was preaching at this place and he was billeted out in a house. And he's going to bed and he went to bed and 3:30 in the morning he felt a presence in the room. And he wakes up and when he looks about in the room, in the corner is this grey shape. Standing there like this, going backwards and forwards. And he straight away thinks, demon. And so he, great man of God that he is, he gets up and he goes, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Be gone. And this grey shape still in the corner going like this. And he goes through the story. I won't go through the whole story because it takes 20 minutes. But he goes on and on and on. He does the casting out in Jesus' name. He prays the blood of Jesus. He goes grace. He goes through the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He does every Bible verse he knows. For 2 hours, he's battling with this demon in the corner, going backwards and forwards like this, this grey shape. No head, no hands, no feet. But he could tell it was a shape going backwards and forwards, just staring him down. Just staring him down. And so 5:30 in the morning, he's fighting through this and he gets to the point the sun starts to come in and as it lightens the room, let the light come into the darkness and he sees, no, it's not a curtain. Don't steal my thunder, Pamela. This is my story. And he sees a raincoat that is being pushed by the air conditioner above it so it moves backwards and forwards. And he's sitting there going, oh my goodness, I've spent 2 hours trying to cast a raincoat out of my room. And he cries out to God and he goes, God, why didn't you tell me that? And he said the guy's name, that's the funniest 2 hours I've had in ages. Humble thyself before God, or else you might try to cast a raincoat out of your bus. All right, just stay humble with God. Walk humble with God. Is that a good thing to do? Does the Bible tell us that? Oh, only 100 times. Walk humbly with our God. Let's do that, folks. Humble ourselves. Submit to God and let him lift ourselves up. Don't raise ourselves up. Number one, in the battle, stay humble. Number two, trust. This passage says, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Trust. Trust in God. Trust that he will bring us through. Trust that God will do things. Now, folks, for those that were here last night, I'm going to tell one of the stories that Tim and Mel told because it's such a good story. Their youngest son, Clayton, loves his pets, loves his animals. And he comes up one day to Mum and says, Mum, I know what my next pet's going to be. I want a budgerigar. And Mel goes, we're in Africa. Budgerigars are from Australia. Where are we going to get a budgerigar from? And Clayton says, no worries, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to see it happen. Anyway, he prays and he prays and he prays. And anyway, one day at school, an old missionary lady comes in carrying a cage. And guess what's in the cage? A budgerigar. A little boy taken to Malawi in the poorest city, in the poorest country, gets God to answer his prayer for a budgerigar. Cast all your cares on him, even your pets and all that sort of stuff. God wants to walk with us and work with us. And I know many of you have got amazing stories and testimonies where you cast your cares, got rid of your fear, got rid of your anxiety, and trusted God. Trusted God. Cast all your dreams, your plans on him and let him raise those up because he loves you and he's got a perfect plan and a purpose for your life. All right? It's his plan and purpose. His plan and purpose. Angela is upstairs with the kids, but Angela's just in the office on Friday. And Friday morning I did my devotional, and in amongst it, it said, my purpose or God's purpose? God's ways or my ways? Now, Friday is my day off. And so I turn my phone off, like I get told by everyone, take your day off, take your day off, take your day off. So I turn my phone off so I don't get tempted in the flesh to answer the phone and go and do, because apparently I can't say no. But we had organised for a dishwasher man to come and fix our dishwasher. You know, the last week has been traumatic. I've had to wash dishes. It's terrible. Anyway, so the dishwasher man was coming and he was going to ring half an hour before he arrived. So I had to have my phone on. And Ange rings the number and says, Donnie, sorry to ring you on your day off, but can I share something with you that has happened this morning and these people are looking for you? Now, many of you know the Gelati people. Now, we put those, their names Prue and Wayne, we put those Gelati things in your newsletter way before this happened. And so Wayne's mum, her name's Bonnie, and she's 100, and they thought she was going to pass away on Friday. And so they rang their pastor and asked if I would go up and spend some time with them. And so I prayed that morning, your will be done, Lord, in my life, not my will, your will. And I get this phone call through this circumstance of things. So I'm up there with Wayne and Prue, sitting there with Bonnie, 100-year-old lady. Amazing. And I was reading through, about to read Psalm 23, is one of my traditional things that I do. And they pulled out her Bible. And so here's a lady who became a Christian when she was 14. And I've got her Bible. And she mustn't have had a highlighter for most of those years, because it was all just pen and pencil. And I'm reading through, and the first thing that we come across is this beautiful bit of poetry that says, you know, this is my paraphrase, don't cry for me when I'm gone. I'm with my Lord. I'm in his hands, and all this sort of stuff. So it's like, here's this lady lying there and her one and only son is reading this in her handwriting, and he's just in massive tears. And so we're going through, and I felt really privileged to read through this lady's notes and some of the things that she had. And in the very back of it was a Mother's Day card sent from her son in 1963. Year I was born. And so it's just an amazing privilege to be there with that family at that time. So God's will, did that upset my day? Did I not get a day off? Correct. But did I get something more precious? Yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Number three in this section is be alert and sober of mind and resist. Resist. You know, in the battle, things are going to happen. You are going to get tempted, and we're going to have to resist. There is going to be amazing things that will come across your life. In the last 12 months, or actually more than that, since I turned 50, so the last four years, every now and then I get attacked by a spirit of four-wheel drive. And it comes against me to say, you want a four-wheel drive. You need a four-wheel drive. You have to have a four-wheel drive. And then my wife gets the spirit of common sense, and she helps me to resist the desire to go out and spend $60,000 on a brand new four-wheel drive. And then other people around the church here tempt me by buying four-wheel drives. And I come and I see these beautiful four-wheel drives. I'm going, oh, my goodness. Oh, I want a four-wheel drive. And my wife, again, common sense, spirit of common sense comes on. You're going to have to resist things, folks. Now, it may not be a Ford, it may be a Cherry Ripe, it may be other really, really bad stuff. I'm making a little bit light of it, but you know what I'm saying? There are things in our lives that we will need to resist. The enemy will get us in our weakness, and he will chock it up, and he will stop us. This passage says that the enemy comes about and to roar, and he seeks to do what? He doesn't seek to pat us on the back and encourage us. He seeks to devour us. Devour us. That is not very good. That is not a happy ending. Not a happy ending. But the interesting thing is that the Lion of Judah, Jesus, doesn't come to devour. He comes to empower us. Fill us with his spirit to enable us to do what he's called us to do. Ephesians chapter 6 is the other passage that we read out today, and many of you know this passage. But it starts with stand firm, be strong, So when you're resisting the enemy, when you're standing there, be strong in God. Be strong and take up the armor of God. Why take up the armor of God? Well, because we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to stand our ground, and it gives us some things to help us to do it. And I'm just going to touch them. I'm not going to go into them because each one of these is a sermon title in itself. The belt of truth. The belt of truth is a no-brainer, isn't it, when you're walking in spiritual warfare. If you tell the truth, guess what? You do not have to remember any lie that you've told. That's good news. If you tell the truth 100% of the time, you don't have to sit there going, oh, what story did I tell them? You don't have to remember any lies. You just have to tell the truth in every situation. And then less stress in your life, less worry, less concern. The belt of truth. There's other funny things there. It keeps your pants up and stops you getting embarrassed and all that sort of stuff. But the belt of truth is very, very important. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, which protects our heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. The righteousness of Christ. To put on and to have fastened, ready, the gospel of peace. In the middle of the battle, to be able to share the good news. To share the good news, to see folks in the battle who are just puppets of the enemy getting set free. We are, as a church, in the moment, signing up for the, and we sent it out during the week about the anti-abortion stuff that could be coming out again. Now, Jackie Trad is the lady who is going to bring that forward. For all the information that we're being given, and it's going to be similar to the one that was brought forward last year that was pulled away because they realised it was going to be soundly defeated. And so the church is being mobilised across denominations for us to sign petitions and to make a stand against the change in abortion law in Queensland. And it's quite a dramatic change, quite a dramatic change. Now Jackie Trad is only the puppet, only the little being pulled by the enemy. She's not the mastermind of it all. And we need to pray for Jackie Trad. We need to pray that God would grab hold of her and it would work in her life and that he would bring blessing and work in her so that she's no longer just being pulled by the strings by the enemy, but she's set free and fear is no longer a part of her life, but she's set free and she gets to know who Jesus is. So the gospel of good news enables us to make sure that when we're in the battle that we're seeing folk coming to good news of knowing who God is. And not that we just go, oh, they're the enemy, they're not, all right? They're not. This passage talks about we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities. And so when it comes in the form of flesh and blood, we need to pray for the flesh and blood and let Jesus' blood set them free from being bound in the enemy's plan. And the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, setting them free. The shield of faith. Wow. How many times do I drop that shield or I leave it at home when I go out and doing things? The shield of faith, to step out in faith, to not let the enemy's wounds come on me, to let that shield stop all the arrows. And then the other opportunity of this beautiful shield of faith is to join it together with my other brothers and sisters, to stand together as we pray, as we pray. Now, in our prayer list, there's a little boy called Tyler who's turned 9 now. He's no longer 8, so we'll have to update that. And I was talking to his granddad on Friday night. Well, Cynthia was too. And he's going in this week, Tuesday, is it, honey, for another lumbar punch. 9-year-old, and he's going in for a lumbar punch. And when granddad told me that, I went, oh, no. And they said, oh, no, that's usual for him now. Every 54 days, he has a lumbar punch. And I went, oh. And he could hear my voice going, oh. And he said, but no, he is so much better now than ever before. And he's becoming more and more a little boy. And so keep praying for Tyler. And that his battle, which is very physical and a terrible sickness and disease. So remember him on Tuesday when he goes for a lumbar punch, that God will be with him and through that family as a testimony, as Mark shares Jesus. The helmet of salvation. on our head to know that we are saved, to know that we are saved by God's grace. What a great thing in the battle when the enemy comes against us and tells us how pathetic we are and how no one will turn up to hear you preach, Donnie, and all that sort of stuff. To have the helmet of salvation, to know that we are in Jesus. And that those lies of the enemy are just that, they're lies. And he wants to rip us off. He wants us to stop believing that God will work through us. He wants us to stop believing that God speaks to us. He wants to stop believing that we are child of the King. And he wants us to believe the lies that he will sow into us. And he's really brilliant at the lies because he uses the lies that will pull us down. And he knows our weakness. He knows our insecurities. And he triggers them. And before we have that shield up, we let that wound us, and then we start going into a spiral. We don't need to. We can have put the helmet of salvation on every night. The armor of God, some of us will pray it through. Some of us will put it on and believe it stays on. When I was living in Tasmania, I had a little lady in the church, Mrs. Brown. She was one of those people that stayed in the presence of God type people. You know those people? You know, they're like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, those type of people. Really amazing in God, you know. Straight line to God sort of thing. And she taught on the armor of God. And every time she'd walk through the building and she'd see me and she'd go, Donnie, have you got your armor on? Tuts. No, I didn't put it on. And so I put it on. Anyway, every time she'd say, you got your armor on? You got your armor on? But guess what? Every time I'd get up in the morning and I'd remember to put the armor on and I'd walk into the radio station, I'd be doing some work, she'd just walk straight past me. Hey, Mrs. Brown, I got my armor on. Yeah, I know. I couldn't even win. But that putting on the helmet of salvation, knowing that those lies of the enemy don't need to be listened to it. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. How important it is us to know the Word of God. What was Jesus' greatest thing when he got tempted by the devil? The Word of God. When the devil came against him, he just said, the Word of God, the Word of God. He didn't say the Word of God, but he used the Word of God. You know? We need to know it and be able to work in and through things. And then pray always in the Spirit. Pray always. Pray always. In everything, pray. In all types of prayers. You know, that really, really holy prayer of, help me, Jesus, that's a good prayer. And can be used any time of the day or night, no matter what we're going through. Are you ready for this week's challenge? First part of the challenge is to acknowledge that you are in a battle. To not sit back and think, yeah, no, the battle, that's over in Malawi. That's all the missionary stuff. That's what they're in the battle. We live in the lucky country. We've written books about it. This is the lucky country. God reigns supreme over here. We've got it all sorted out. No, no, no. We're in the battle. And we're losing it in Australia. We're in the battle. So be aware of that. Be aware of that. The second one I want to challenge you with is to, this week, walk humbly with God and trust in Him every day. Can you do that? Walk humbly with God and trust in Him. Not just say, okay, yeah, I trust in you, Jesus, but when things come up, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. Okay, Lord, I'm going to humble myself before you. Say it. Do it. Action it. Remember what I said a couple of weeks ago? There will be people here today who will be not listening. There will be people here today who are listening, but it's going in one ear and out the other. There are other people here who are listening and will go, yeah, I'm going to do something about this. I talked to a young guy here last night who heard Brendan's message last week, and he said, I'm still playing that over in my head. And I went, awesome. And he said, yeah, it was one of the best sermons ever. And I went, Humble thyself. Let's be people who hear God's word and be actors through it, action people through it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that we are in a battle, but Lord, we're not in that battle alone, that we have the Lion of Judah. We have the Lamb with us. We have the Word of God. We have the shield of faith. Lord, you've given us some things to do, and we pray that you would help us to be humble and walk with you, acknowledging you in all that we do, for you will guide our paths. We thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you, that you are a good God, that you can be trusted, Lord, I pray this week that we'll all experience an element and a way, a pattern of holding your hand and trusting you as we step out in faith to believe in what you're doing in our lives. So guide us, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, Amen. Thanks, Randall.